You may be seated.
Morning. Case of Crystal Gale Ramsey versus the Commonwealth. We're ready when you are.
Good morning, Ashley. My name is Adam Carroll. I'm representing Crystal Ramsey. And if please, the court, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
3 minutes.
Intent is to address the issue of preservation and anything else that may arise from the Attorney General's argument. This case is an interesting one. Much like the last case for the government side of things, there's really a void of authority when it comes to an interpretation of the statute that Ms. Ramsey was convicted of in the Morgan Circuit Court. Specifically, the conviction centered around the code section that prohibits the accessing or the using of computer network to intentionally examine the confidential information of somebody else without authority to do so.
Which element is lacking? I mean, she used a computer, there was no authority?
Well, the question becomes the issue of authority, right? And that's where trial counsel, Mr. Pfeiffer, was arguing extensively the issues of this training and the lack of evidence that there was no authority, because it was stipulated by the Commonwealth in the very early parts of the cases that as a Virginia State Trooper, Crystal Ramsey had authority to be in the system. That's really not the question. The question then shifts to an issue of use and this VSIN screen warning and her training materials. Now, the Commonwealth in this case elected to try to advance both felony levels of liability and also misdemeanor levels of liability. It took a long time to focus on the issue of deception. That's why there's a lot of evidence in the record about the confidential code C being placed on certain searches. And they were trying to use that as a device of deception to convict on the felony level of offense. Court didn't agree with that, dismissed all of those charges. Where the court ended up deciding the case is, well, we simply disagree that she had the authority to be in the system. That goes to an issue of criminal justice use and purpose. Now, if you look at the statute, the word use only appears in the element related to using a computer network or a computer itself. So is use an element? Yes, but not in our argument. Okay? Use relates to the idea of authority. Now, again, it's stipulated she has the authority to be in the system. The question then becomes whether there's enough evidence in the record to have the court make the finding that because she was in the system, did she use it for a non-criminal justice purpose? Okay, so what does use mean? If you look at the testimony of Ms. Wilson, who was the certification trainer on these systems, the one who actually certified Ms. Ramsey in this confidential code, she describes varying levels of access. You know, she talks about confidential access, she talks about the base level of access, the access that dispatcher has to be able to access criminal record information, how a police officer on the street can get that criminal information. But when she talks about the idea of running one's own personal information, running somebody's wife, or her personal experiences with a trooper calling in and saying, hey, I need my wife's driver's license number, would you run it for me real quick, and refusing that kind of request. What she describes it in terms of is as a complaint. She says, well, that would be a complaint. That would be a problem. They're not supposed to do that. On cross-examination, she admitted that there is absolutely no mandatory language. And she also admitted
what do you mean mandatory language?
That they're absolutely prohibited from it. They say they're not supposed to, okay, which I guess we're drawing some lines there. But when she talks about it in terms of what the problem is, the Commonwealth's evidence is that it is a complaint. Well, I don't know what that means. I don't know that the defendant has any appreciation for what that means. At least it's not placed in the record. And so we're left with a kind of a nebulous area of, all right, well, what was used in the circumstances? Sorry, in the circumstance. Well, we don't know because there's no evidence at all about these inquiries. There's evidence that she ran the information, and she admitted to Trooper Bruno when she was interrogated, yeah, I ran it. There's no open case files. I did that. That's not disputed. Does that become a crime? Does that become a violation of some internal regulation that's not in the record of VSIN? Does it become a violation of Virginia State Police policy? Or is it a criminal offense? And our position is that it's not a criminal offense. insistence. She has the authority to be insistent.
But, now, but the statute doesn't talk about being authorized to use the computer. It talks about intentionally examines without authority any employment, salary, credit, data.
Absolutely.
Accessing data without authority to access the data. Not, certainly she had authority to use the system.
But where, in the point that trial counsel was making when they argued this, is where does that authority derive? Now, in my circumstance, if I go to my bank, and I, you know, that's my authority. I don't want somebody using the confidential information. I authorize my bank teller to use my information. I authorize the bank manager to see my personal information, right? But as a, but in the analogy to a bank, that bank employee is authorized as an employee of the financial institution to review personal information of the customers, okay? That as a result of accessing BB&T's system. In Crystal Ramsey's situation, her employment as a Virginia State Trooper authorized her to access and examine information.
For law enforcement purposes, correct?
That's what the VSIN system says. And it says, it doesn't say authorization for law enforcement purposes. It says information used shall be used for criminal justice purposes only. And so the question becomes is a mere viewing, is a mere entering the system using information for non-criminal justice purposes? Or should the Commonwealth have gone deeper and done a little bit of computer forensics and, you know, we've learned the word metadata in the last 3 or 4 years, right? Well, I don't know what metadata is until I just talked to an expert in a civil case that I'm in. Metadata is apparently data about data. And so, you know, so what it gives you is, hey, where was this picture taken? It gives you a GPS location. It gives you, you know, if you're on Facebook or something, it shows the friends that you're with. That's data about data. And so had the government gone a little bit deeper into some sort of forensic analysis on these inquiries, they may have showed you that Ms. Ramsey printed out the information, that she manipulated the information, that she assimilated the information in some sort of way that would have demonstrated use of that information for non-criminal justice purposes as opposed to a mere viewing or, as the record states, running that information. Now, I realize I'm trying to weave a line here, but I think it's important in this particular case to make that distinction, and the opportunity is presented here because there isn't a dearth of case law on the statute. If you remember from the record, trial counsel had to bring, Judge Martin said, a foot high of law review articles on the arguments on the felonies to try to convince the court that there is actually some legislative history behind these statutes to show that really they were intended to be anti-phishing statutes, you know, from the hackers out there that are trying to get our information and get us to invest money in Nigeria. That's kind of really what these statutes are about. Now, on the misdemeanor side of things, though, when we have a...
Is there also not a privacy concern with it, though?
I mean,
that the harm isn't just in using it, but accessing it in an unauthorized fashion.
Yeah, and I would ordinarily agree with that. You know, do I want somebody to just have an opportunity to look at my Social Security number and know what that is because there's a risk there that they may use it in the future? Yeah, I think that's a problem, Judge Allen. I think that's a good point. However,
in fact, that's how the statute begins. A person is guilty of the crime of computer invasion of privacy when he uses the computer.
Yes, sir. And that really is the point. But in order to, I think in the scenario of the bank employee, the trooper who has access to this information at their fingertips and they're trained in a certain way on how to use it, if their authorization to view that information is limited, then we have to have some information in the record and evidence presented about how they exceeded the scope of that authorization.
Counsel, didn't Judge Martin go down the path of saying, of essentially finding that by inference, when you pull something up that is that complicated to pull up, you have to get in and log all the information in, when you pull it up, the reasonable inference is that you're reviewing it when you pull it up, because otherwise, why would you pull it up?
Sure.
And isn't that, at this juncture, isn't that a reasonable inference to draw from the facts?
So, can I ask it in a question and
sure.
Argue it, which is, if it's a reasonable inference, is it outside of the scope of the trooper's authority to do? Because if she's acknowledging that there's no criminal justice purposes, or no active case files, or nothing out there that she's actively investigating, okay, that's stipulated too. All right, if that's the acknowledgement, then is just looking at it, reviewing it, running it according to what the statement actually was, without more, outside of the scope? I think it's a gray area. I think it's difficult to impart that inference that she necessarily learned something without necessarily learned something and converted it to her purpose as the Supreme Court has defined, you know, defined the word to use. When I went and researched this, you know, the Plasters case is against me, right? But I thought the dissent was very, very interesting when it goes into that analysis of the word use. What does that mean? You know, when I, you know, was writing this and trying to drive the argument, when I came across the Plasters case, we're looking into it and figuring out what use is. Well, use is a very specific verb. It's different than looking. It's different than reviewing. And so I think if you're going to have a case where a trooper clearly has authority to be in the system, and clearly has the authority for certain purposes, I guess, and call it limited authority maybe, although that's not really how it was described in the record, the Commonwealth needs to go a little bit deeper to show how they were acting outside of that authority in order to maintain the conviction.
Okay, but didn't Tina Wilson, the trainer, talk about that they were taught that they were not allowed to query VSIN for their own purposes or any
other
purposes?
Related some anecdote, I think. She talked about how there was some story that's always told about somebody who ran this information and got in trouble. I don't believe, and you're testing my recollection of that particular aspect of the record, but I don't believe that actually resulted in criminal offenses. I think she said that person got fired. And that's why I was relating that back to that issue and how she described it of it being a complaint. You know, is that an administrative violation? Is that a violation of the Virginia State Police rules, or is that a, you know, active violation of the law? Now, the Commonwealth says that we didn't preserve the issue of knowledge, and I'll address that in my rebuttal, but the issue of knowledge goes hand in hand with the issue of authority, and it's in that same sentence. And so one of the arguments the trial counsel made at length was the lack of a training manual or a regulation or anything else that goes deeper to show that the trooper knew she didn't have authority to be in that system for that purpose was fatal to the issue and the element of authority. I'm running up on my 3 minutes. Unless you have other questions, I'm happy to answer.
No, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Good morning, Your Honor. John Lighton on behalf of the Commonwealth. If I may begin, I'd like to point out that not only did Tina Wilson testify that all Virginia State troopers who are trained in VSIN are taught that they are not allowed to access even their own information. That's why they have a dummy account set up in VSIN so that they can use that for training so they don't violate any of the rules. Not only was that testified to, but if you look on page 36 of the appendix, in the long block right at the bottom of the page, it begins with A period. The answer to the question is Master Trooper Bruno testified. They are provided training in violations for misuse of the system, including the code sections that are applicable. So clearly, there's evidence that she was taught about these code sections that are applicable. This code section is clearly applicable in this case. Not only that, but you have the testimony that Ms. Ramsey called in to check out a criminal history on one gentleman. She called in and told, because as a trooper, she only had access to DMV records and licensing information. To get criminal history, you had to go to the dispatcher. So she called the dispatcher on this one gentleman and said, I need his criminal history, I'm doing a firearms check. She stipulated that there was no firearms check going on. Clearly she knew she was lying to the dispatcher to get information that she wasn't entitled to. She absolutely knew what she was doing. That's why it's someone else who's peripherally involved with her family. Lisa, now I'm gonna pronounce the name wrong, Grogan, I believe, or something like that, who initially brings the information to Master Trooper Bruno. She knew what she was doing. She was going up and checking on her friends, her girlfriend's employers, and other people that she knew. She did not have authority. She knew she was not allowed to do this. And she admitted to Master Trooper Bruno when he first went to her, that he had just 9 names that he had discovered at that point. She said, I ran that for non-criminal justice purposes. So she had some purpose for running them. Now, personally, my wife gets very irritated, but when I see something that I don't know about, I will ask, what is this or why is that? Or, and she'll, I don't know. There's a purpose for asking that question. I'm not going to go out and do something with that information. I just want to know. That's my purpose for asking that information. So once you admit you're doing it for non-criminal justice purposes, you've got a purpose in doing that. You know, if she said, well, I just wanted to practice doing this particular type of run, that might have been a whole different case. But here she's collecting information on people she knew, people her girlfriend knew, people her girlfriend worked for. I think given the facts of this case, it's very clear that she not only is this a case she should have known, but she knew she was not authorized to access this information in this form. And so she's clearly guilty of violating the statute as it's written. If there are no further questions, I'll rest on the brief. Thank you, Your Honor.
Carol.
Thank you. As to the issue of preservation, I'll point the court to the record and begin at 184 in the conversation on the motions to strike the evidence. Mr. Pfeiffer, trial counsel, in response to a question of the court says, as many of you have, isn't there a testimony that she has authority to access the system if it's for a proper purpose? She doesn't have the authority to access for a personal purpose, seems to be the linchpin here. Mr. Pfeiffer commented back to the court, Your Honor, the authority issue, and that's why I clarified the question when I asked Ms. Wilson, and I asked what the screen said itself to her when you look at this test and the screen. It doesn't mention access, it only mentions the use of it. And skipping down a little bit more, that's the distinction. The authority comes from the state police in their test and their procedures. It is the exact testimony of the Commonwealth's witnesses and the test the troopers are trained on before the court that says that. And then skipping down, he addresses and highlights the use versus the authority to access. And then also in another place in the record that we put in our reply brief discusses where he talks about the knowledge and void of evidence as far as the manuals and the training are concerned. And finally, with my last 90 seconds or so, this statute, when I read Judge Martin's opinion, and he makes a comparison that, based on our arguments, the bank customer could hack into their bank and then view all of the information of everybody else if they wanted to and not be in violation of the statute if they accepted our premise. And I don't believe that's a correct analogy. The analogy here is the bank employee, the bank manager, having access to its customers' records. Are they committing a crime if the bank manager reviews my information in an audit and determines that, you know, I qualify for a certain home loan? I mean, why are they sending me emails every other day offering me financing and interest rates and, hey, better refinance your house now? Are they just doing that as a marketing employee, or do they analyze who would qualify on a preliminary level for these rates and look at my financial information and offer me that as my bank? Why are the police driving around with scanners in the back of their cars reading license plates that report in DMV information on an automated system? Are they in violation of this particular statute? When we're talking about the people who live within this world and have access to these systems, who granted them the trust and authority, was the trust in the circumstance necessarily exceeded? You know, I think there's arguments that from a employment level of Virginia State Police, may not, you know, might be violated, suspended, sanctioned somehow. That is a criminal behavior. And that's where the thrust of our argument lies, is the difference between the authority and breaching that authority and committing a crime. Thank you very much for your time.
Very well, thank you. We'll come down to Greek Council.